Done? Okay. Representative Hillstrom, you had a question to Senator Lance.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
We're going to reconvene, try to get through this section.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Latz, so I'm looking at the money that you're giving to the county for community corrections and county probation. And then I'm looking to the amount that the county is saving. And isn't the amount that you're giving like less than half of the savings that they're actually getting? So the captured amount, I think, is around $7 or $8 million between what you give and what they save. Is that correct?
Senator Lance.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hillstrom, I can read the numbers just the same, and that's what it looks like, yes. So I think what might be helpful is if we could, maybe we can run some numbers to find out what the impact would be in connection with the sort of the formula percentages and the statutory percentages and get some idea of whether we make up the gap, whether it maintains the current level of proportion. And I'd also be curious to know what our legal authority is to direct or restrict the use of savings that we generate in connection with this for the county expenditures.
Thank you, Senator Latz.
Okay, so if we could, Commissioner, well, thank you very much. Assistant Commissioner, Deputy Commissioner, we'll wait and hear what your meeting is like with the governor. If we could have the CPO, CCA counties, representatives, come up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee.
Thank you. We have sort of a full agenda. We're trying to get through all of this, and then the House has Ways and Means side and trying to expedite matters here a little bit. So if you could introduce yourselves for the record.
I'm Carol Roberts. I'm the Director of Corrections for Ramsey County, and I'm representing the Minnesota Association of Community Corrections Act Counties, or MACAC.
Welcome to the committee. Do you want to start? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
That would be my pleasure. Well, Senator Latz really has made my case that I maybe should turn my papers over and go home, but I'm not going to do that. It's not too often that I get to appear before such an august board. MACAC, as you know, represents 32 counties and is responsible for the supervision of 70% of all the probationers on the street. 70%. Right? If we were to include our colleagues from the county probation officer system, or MACPO, that number would rise to 85% of all probationers on the streets in Minnesota. Not to include us, not to support the Senate's version of the bill, would be, in fact, to leave 85% of Minnesota correctional system behind. Minnesota, as you know, is one of the birthplaces of the community corrections model. We can all take pride in what this system has achieved. It's been a model for many other states in the country. It is unique, as you also know, in that it has the second lowest prison population in the United States, and that's because it is the second highest consumer of community correction services in the United States, second highest in the United States. As an example of the cost savings achieved through the use of community supervision, we would tell you that if you were to take an additional 10% of the probationers that are on the street now and incarcerate them in your state prison facilities, you would double your operational costs overnight, and God knows where you would be in terms of building. Double by just a 10% increase. By just a 10% movement of the probation population to a prison population. I know you've heard comparisons in the past between Wisconsin and the correctional and the Minnesota correctional models, but I think it bears some repeating. They are states of comparable size, but according to a recent Pew report, 8% of Wisconsin's general fund is spent on corrections versus 2.4% in Minnesota. That's $1.08 billion versus $460 million spent in Minnesota. Why the difference? Minnesota depends heavily upon that system of community supervision. I don't think that that point can be overemphasized. Wisconsin has approximately 53,000 people under community supervision in comparison to Minnesota in 2008, which had 127,000 people under supervision. The commissioner says that we are an important part of the criminal, of the supervision system in Minnesota. We would contend that we are an irreplaceable part of the supervision system in Minnesota. We believe that you really, the state really cannot do without us. It is in everybody's interest, to keep the Minnesota community supervision system healthy and viable. Stakeholders need to trust what we do. The health of the system, however, is becoming questionable. The system has been under considerable stress for well over a decade, and I can tell you personally, I hear from judges who are really unhappy with the fact that we have had to pull back on some of the services that we provide. We cannot afford, the state cannot afford to have less than a credible system of community supervision. We would note for you that the CCA subsidy, the primary source of state funding for the CCA counties, is $2 million less today in actual dollars than it was 10 years ago. A perfect storm of budget cuts, cost shifts, legislative changes, and the impact of a frayed social safety net is causing a spider web of fissures in the Minnesota correctional system. And let me give you some examples. I'm from Ramsey County, as you know, and we see it up front and personal there. With respect to funding shifts, in 1977, the state was our partner. The state funded us 40% of our budget to the county's 58% contribution. In 2012, the state's contribution had fallen to 17%. And here's where I may disagree a little bit with my great friend and colleague, the Commissioner of Corrections. I do not believe that there are more than one or two CCA counties in this state that have a state match of more than 40%, in the 40% range. Most of them will be in the upper 20s or in the 30s, and the large urban jurisdictions like Ramsey County will be somewhere in the low, in the high teens. We are, as I said, 17%. The county is now supporting the department to the tune of 75%. Now, our county, just like every other county, has been hit by all the things that we have experienced in the last 8 to 10 years. I have also lost in budget cuts in the last biennium 7% of my staff. 7%. Right? So we have county assuming a greater responsibility for the system, and I'm still losing staff 7%, and I'm scheduled to lose more staff in this next biennium that is coming up. Legislative impacts. One of the things that is near and dear to our hearts in Ramsey County is the plight of domestic abuse victims. Legislative changes, such as those made to domestic abuse laws, have resulted in Ramsey County in a 74% increase in the number of domestic abuse offenders. The number of felons under supervision in that category has increased threefold. The high-risk offenders in that population of domestic abusers total 46%, which is extraordinarily high. And these people recidivate at a rate of, the high-risk offenders recidivate at a rate of 41%, the very high-risk offenders recidivate at a rate of 63%. While Ramsey County has been deeply involved with the development of the St. Paul Blueprint, which was funded through support from the legislature, there's little doubt that it has created an enormous workload that probation officers must contend with. It is part of our passion to do so, but we're talking about all the things that have caused the fissures in community corrections. This kind of increased workload is part of that mix. the social safety net, and I'm sure you're not used to hearing about this, or at least I don't think you are with respect to community corrections. But I know that you know that there has been a strain on community resources. But little's understood about the impact on corrections. For example, in a recent examination of our correctional institution, in conjunction with a Second Chance Act grant that we had, we found out that 63%, learned that 63% of those who are at risk for homelessness and who are drug abusers had been previously undiagnosed for severe persistent mental illness. These were 63% of the population were SPMI, not previously diagnosed and getting no services. A recent examination of our juvenile population in our juvenile treatment center revealed that 80% of the kids there had a diagnosis of one or more mental health issues. Corrections has now been called upon to recreate itself to somehow provide these services within our house. In the United States, corrections has become the principal provider of mental health services. So the services that people would normally have received outside in the community, they have gone away. They are very difficult to access. We are now becoming the providers of that service. Now, why am I telling you this? What does it mean? It means high workloads. It's all about workload and capacity. But what does that mean? The most precious resource we have is our probation officers, and the most precious resource they have is their time. They need the time to be able to speak with victims, to respond to victims of abuse, of all kinds of abuse. We ask them to use the best and the most recent techniques to help work with offenders to change their behavior, to deal with drug addiction, to get them to change attitudes and behavior. That takes time. I mentioned the domestic abuse unit. And this should be like real clear to you because it's a matter of simple mathematics, as President Clinton would say. And that is, my workloads there are 80 offenders to every probation officer. If you do the mathematics there, and I've just told you these are very high-risk offenders recidivating at a rate of 41% and 63%. If you do the mathematics here, my probation officer has a total of 21.3 hours per year to spend on each offender. And that's being kind of generous. That's assumed they're at their desk 8 hours a day. They never take a bathroom break. They never speak to anybody else. They never go to a meeting anywhere. That's 21.3 hours for a high-risk offender per year. That includes report writing, windshield time, home visits, visits to employers, responding to law enforcement, everything. 21.3 hours a year. My question to you is, are we really realistic? Are we expecting too much from the system as it exists in 2013? For Ramsey County, the Senate bill, in its current form, would mean an increase of approximately $240,000. That would allow me to save 3 probation officer jobs. In a county like Blue Earth, I believe the dollar figure would be somewhere about $40,000, and that would maybe allow them to meet their budget deficit for the coming year. Today, this is not about curing the current problems or of a much overly taxed system. It is about holding the line and putting some caulk in the cracks, and trying to get to a better day. For these and all the reasons, I ask that you support the Senate bill. I think it is possible to leave 85% of the people who provide community supervision out of this formula. Thanks.
Thank you for your testimony. Does anyone else want to testify?
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bruce Hagstrom. I'm a probation officer in Chisago County. I'm also the legislative chair for the Minnesota Association of County Probation Officers. There are 55 counties across the state of Minnesota that are organized under Statute 244.19. And under 244.19, Subdivision 6 calls for the state to fund 50% of the cost of probation to the counties. We're down around 30% at this point. The last time we were at 50% was 1996. I want to make sure that we're clear on this. Even if we were getting our full 50%, it would not be 50% of our total costs. The statute says that the state is to reimburse the counties for 50% of the salaries for probation officers. That doesn't include case aides. That doesn't include clerical staff. That doesn't include heat and electricity. Over the years, it's gotten progressively worse. And as Susan said, this is a stopgap measure. This is only going to help us hold the line for another year or two. In Chisago County, what this has meant for us is a loss of $108,000 per year. We've lost two case aid positions over the course of the last few years. That means that agents like myself, I've got to pick up cases that used to be supervised by a case aide. I supervise a caseload of adult domestic offenders. I've got 135 people on probation. I pay attention to the highest risk third. We use risk assessment tools to determine who the highest risk third is. That's where I put my energy. This $242,000 a year to go to the CPO counties would mean about $8,000 for Chisago County. That would just go to the general fund because the counties had to pick up a larger and larger share of our cost over the past 13 years. Garver County, the same situation. They've lost positions, had to lay off two staff, approximately 10% of their total FTEs. Nicollet County, their short is about $107,000 a year from the 50% mark. In my position as chairman of the legislative committee, I have had the opportunity to talk and with Commissioner Roy and Deputy Commissioner Ron Solheid.
Mr. Hagstrom, if yes. You could just hold on, we'll take a very, very brief just one.
Sorry, thank you.
We'll take a very brief recess so the Senate can vote, and then they'll be right back.